Hi again. I'm going to do another devotion. I want to talk to you about an occasion early in the ministry of Jesus. It's found in actually three out of the four Gospels. You can read it in Matthew 8 or Luke 5 or actually right in the first chapter of Mark 1. This is early in the ministry of Jesus as he's still in that northern region of Galilee. And word has started to spread about him and his miracles, right? He's already at this point, he's turned water into wine. He's cast out demons. He's healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And so the word starts to spread out and people start flocking to Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine now, somewhere outside the city that Jesus is in, there's a man who can't come to Jesus. Because that man has leprosy, a horrible contagious disease that attacked the nervous system, caused really grotesque skin issues. Nowadays we call leprosy Hansen disease is what we usually think of, but in Bible times it actually seems like a lot more afflictions would have fit sort of under the label, the umbrella of leprosy. But in their society, there were strict rules for public safety in regard to leprosy. Leviticus 13 and 14 actually record this. Those two chapters work as sort of a flow chart for diagnosing different issues of leprosy. But what you won't find back there in all of that flow chart is a cure. Essentially, once a person was diagnosed as a leper, he had to walk around like a mourner. He had to mourn his own death. Actually, here's what he had to do. According to Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, he would have to tear his robe. He would not be allowed to have a covering on his head. Sort of messy hair is implied there. He'd have to live alone outside of the city. He couldn't come within a walled city. And he would have to cover his mouth and say, unclean, unclean, anytime someone came close to him. And so those are some demanding regulations for, we'll say, the original social distancing, right? The treatment of lepers was harsh. You can easily imagine, and there's descriptions of mothers yelling at their children to stay away from them. It wasn't unusual for people to actually throw rocks at lepers if they started to get too close. The Jewish Talmud, outside of scripture, actually required lepers to stay at least a minimum of 6 feet away. Does that sound familiar? But that actually went up to 150 feet if there was any wind blowing. So just try to put yourself in that situation for a minute. Separated from your own town, separated from your family if you had one. I mean, they would literally hold a funeral for you. You're dead to them. Wives of lepers were free to remarry. If you got too close to people, you're liable to get stoned to death. And if they accidentally come close to you, then you have to, you know, put your hand in front of your mouth and say, unclean, unclean. Maybe all that's why leprosy is so closely connected and associated with sin in Scripture. Right, there's no natural cure for either one of them. They're both completely debilitating. Both leprosy and sin cause you to sort of rot from the inside out, and both of them result in this complete separation. And so there's that, like I said, close association between leprosy and sin. Moses' sister Miriam became leprous because of her sin. When King Uzziah committed sin, he was struck with leprosy. As a matter of fact, one passage of scripture you might be familiar with, Isaiah 64:6, which says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That verse actually begins by saying, we are all as an unclean thing. And if you really want to embrace what that means, try reading unclean with your hand over your mouth. Right? A leper lives as an outcast. They would have been emotionally shattered long before their body fell apart. So understanding what that means to be a leper Now I want you to look at a couple of passages with me. In Luke 5, I want to look at this in Luke's gospel and in Mark's gospel because they record just subtle nuances of the same story. In Luke 5, verses 12 and 13, it says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him." And then in Mark's gospel, Mark 1, verses 40 through 42, it says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him," begging him, "and kneeling down to him, and said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." So this man, he's lived outside of society for years. Luke's gospel, one of the reasons I wanted you to see it in Luke is, remember, Luke's a doctor, right? His gospel didn't just say this man had leprosy, but it says he was full of leprosy. So that disease had developed for years. So for years, he probably lived outside of his little village, watching his friends and family from a distance. But word had begun to spread about Jesus. And so you've got this man who is on the outskirts of the city watching as all evening long there's people who are come limping and coughing and sickly into the presence of Jesus, and they leave walking and leaping and shouting for joy because he knows there's a man over there in the city who are doing what men can't do, doing what doctors can't do. There's a man over there in the city who's performing miracles, but he's in the city, and the leper can't go there. And yet, the Gospels show that he did come to Jesus. He came desperately, urgently, you know, determined to throw himself on the mercy of Jesus. Now, you have to understand, this is such a tenuous time early in Jesus' ministry. With hindsight, we know what to expect from Jesus. But I can assure you this leper didn't know what to expect. He clearly has faith in what Jesus could do, but not certainty about what Jesus would do. I mean, if he had approached any other rabbi in the country at that point, he likely would have ended up dead. And here is this new rabbi, this new teacher early in his ministry, and it would seem like, well, he's trying to make a name for himself, and of course, he's going to show how righteous he is by holding those sinful lepers off at a distance. So, there's Jesus. It's his only hope. And so for the first time in years, he comes to a person without putting his hand in front of his mouth and saying, unclean, unclean. Right? He kneels down in front of Jesus. Luke says he falls on his face before Jesus. And he says, if you will, you could make me clean. Right? If you will, if you wanted to, you could make me clean. Now, he doesn't claim any worthiness of his own. He doesn't say, well, I'm not all that bad. He doesn't say, you know, okay, now you're obligated to do for me what you've just done for everybody else. He simply comes humbly recognizing that it's the will of Jesus that is supreme, not his own will. And y'all, that's how all of us need to approach Jesus, with this deep realization of what we are, right? Knowing what he can do and pleading with him for mercy. Look, you might not have rotten skin, but you are filled with this putrefying sin that it just tears our lives apart. And it causes us to be separated, not separated from others in our sinful society. It causes us to be separated from God. And so when you come appealing to the mercy of Jesus, look at what he will do. Because ultimately, this story is not about the leprous man. This story is about Jesus. That's who the Gospels are telling us about. You know, in Mark's gospel, he has it front-loaded. Like, they're in the very first chapters. Like, as he's introducing the persons of Jesus, Mark says, look, if you want to know about the character of this person, if you want to see what separates him, what sets him apart, just step closer and watch what he does for this leper. Right? And so you picture this man having risked his life to enter the city, right? Breaking those social distancing regulations and approaching a healthy person, ignoring that rule of proclaiming himself unclean, and bows down on his knees before Jesus, says, if you want to, you could make me clean. And then he's just waiting for the words that are either going to heal him or condemn him to death. And Mark says, Jesus, moved with compassion, puts forth his hand and touches him and says, I will, you be clean. So at the very moment that all of us, if we had been there, we would have jumped back in disgust, right? Jesus saw the pain and the separation and the sickness and the hopelessness of this man. And Mark says he is moved with compassion. That, without nerding out about Greek words there, that's just this description of deep emotion. What we would say it now is his heart broke for that man. And what he does for him is completely unexpected. He stands there as this man is below him. He's hovering over this man who had been separated from all human contact. The leper kneeling there in front of him, and instead of hearing the words of healing or words of condemnation, the leper feels Jesus touch him. Human contact for the first time in years. And the man is healed. He's restored. For everyone else, they would have become defiled by touching this diseased leper. But for Jesus, he touches this man and his righteousness makes the leper clean. Now, all of that outwardly is a picture of what Jesus does for us inwardly. That putrefying sin in your life, right? Appeal to Jesus for mercy and you can be healed. The touch of Jesus makes the sinner clean. This man is restored to society. There's no more social distancing, but even more important than that, Jesus has come to reconcile us to God himself. When we repent of our sins and trust in him for salvation, our spiritual distancing is over. We're no longer quarantined from the righteousness of God because of our sin. We have a Savior who is able and willing to make us clean.